Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, and it's the 7th of April, and I'm recording at 10 p.m., and that is British summertime here in London. Well, nervous markets here overall, that's for sure. Let's have a quick run through, starting with the Asia-Pacific region. Japan, interestingly, was a fraction higher here, despite the yen strengthening quite dramatically. More on that in a moment. And China, weaker. The Shanghai comp down 1.38%. We also have declines. No, we don't. I was going to say we had also declines in the Hong Kong shares. Enterprise lower. Hang Seng Index slightly higher. And we're only talking about small percentages there. South Korea, Australia, slightly higher. India, on average, almost 9/10 of a percentage point lower. It looks like that rally in India has lost or is losing upside momentum. And Malaysia, fraction higher. Thailand down 1.25%. So not too bad. Mixed activity, though. No big gains. Get into Europe, and, well, Europe is so often a soft spot, and it did that again here today. Biggest decline looks like Italy, down nearly 2.5%. A lot of declines in the 1% range, including Germany. The UK index only down 4/10 of a percentage point, so that looks almost positive in Europe. Actually, the Swiss market was down less than 0.1%. Wall Street, not a good day here. Took out the rally that we saw yesterday. Although Wall Street closed a little bit off its lows, maybe 20% at best off its lows. But the Dow down nearly 1%, the S&P down 1.2%, trading after hours here at 2,042. The NASDAQ Composite down nearly 1.5%. This really does look like a very tired rally overall, and my goodness, it was a very strong rally, helped by just a phenomenal amount of short covering. And I think we've had a bit of two-way activity up here, but this is after a long run to the upside and near lots of resistance, number of factors to worry investors. This churning is probably forming another little rollover top here at the higher side of the range. Now, it's not all bad news. It's mostly bad news, though. But the one area that's not bad news for Wall Street and the rest of the world, and this is important, is that the dollar index has come back quite sharply. Now, that's, I normally mention that later, but I'm tying it in here with these stock markets. It's a fraction steadier here today at 94.525 as I speak. But, you know, it was up near that 100 level, and every man and his dog was long, and people were forecasting it to break out to the upside. The Fed, I maintain, throughout was intervening, because the ultimate nightmare, which would have guaranteed a recession in the U.S. economy, because corporate profits have been soft for the last quarter and a bit, they couldn't have survived another sharp rally in the dollar. And that's not occurred, so a lot of people are breathing slightly more easier about that factor. But with the U.S., you've still got the decline that we're seeing in earnings overall. And companies aren't doing anything with the cash that they have. Now, maybe that's very sensible. I mean, you don't go out and spend it just for the sake of spending it. And they are, managements are helping their own earnings by buying shares because they're compensated certainly by favorably with a good share performance. But looks tired, as I say. Looks tired up here. And I maintain that we're going to see, at best, this choppy, ranging activity here, and that it will continue potentially for the lengthy medium term. Now, some people are talking about the Wall Street bull market and just getting a pause, and other people are talking about a bear market. Well, if you want your bear market evidence, you can find it easily enough in the deteriorating breadth, in the early lead to the downside that actually started in 2015 for the transports, very important transports index, utilities index had also fallen sharply, and interestingly, that's run back up to a new high, but that I think reflects some very defensive stakes in there. And the you say, while the S&P has not seen a 20% decline this time around, those are arbitrary levels, but I wouldn't be surprised if it challenges its February low. Now, moving on, I didn't mention some of those other stock markets. Canada and Mexico were both lower by 0.6 and 0.5, and Brazil a little higher. Looking at the U.S. bond market, and I really don't like this. The 10-year yield is at 1.68%. Now, these bond investors have just done exceptionally well, it has to be said, and I have been surprised at how low yields actually are. Bond investors are also credited with being rather astute, and sometimes they are, but when bonds are a crowded trade, does that dilute some of that astuteness? Well, we will see, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. And I think that, again, the problems here, one of the things that I've mentioned for several months now is that we're likely to see a further recovery in commodity indices. Now, we got the initial sharp short covering rally, and that produced some of the best gains in over a year. But we're pulling back now because we're getting some renewed shorting, and also people look around and say, well, what news has changed? And not all that much. If the projections that are coming from oil analysts are correct, and they're talking about higher prices during the second half of this year and into 2017, that will be adding to the inflation outlook in the USA. And Owen's written a piece here today with which I think we'll all concur that the data that the Fed produces on inflation is not exactly the same as the data that actually causes our costs to go up. In other words, household inflation is pushing higher by more than 2% per annum. I think there is, you know, in the inflation versus deflation, I've said all along I thought that inflation would surprise at some point this year, and I maintain that view. So these bond investors, I think I'll put it this way, the risks are increasing. And looking at currencies in here, I already mentioned the dollar index, of course, but we've got some of the currencies that had rallied quite sharply against the dollar are weakening a bit further in here today. Yen's a little, but sorry, beg your pardon, I was going to talk about the euro, but I'll get on to the yen in a moment. The euro is a little lower at 1.1376. Let's pick up the yen here. Really strong, 108.20. It's looking a little overextended. Now, why is the yen so strong? I think it's the unwinding of all those short positions. And, you know, just everybody who was buying the Japanese stock market a year or two ago was saying that they were also shorting the yen. It was discussed many times in our services. And what I think the lesson on this for all of us is that when you get a crowded trade, and a crowded trade has usually done very well and may still be doing well, but when a performing crowded trade loses momentum, watch out. Watch out, because you don't want to be the last one in that crowd to jump off the sinking ship. Because there may not be that many lifeboats left. Well, I don't want to plant any more scary fantasies here. But you see my mood here. These markets are tricky. I'm wary of the stock markets. I don't think we'll see a big downside on Wall Street, and that would be fortunate if that did not occur. But bear markets and trading ranges at best are cyclical bear markets, I say, and trading ranges at best are what we are likely to see. Okay. What about crude oil? Well, it got above that 40 level for Brent, but it couldn't hold it. It's currently 39.66, but it's not a bad performance overall. And the WTI is lagging here at 37.53. We have... I should mention sterling. I don't want to forget it here. My currency, sterling. A lot of people anxious about sterling. It keeps pressuring that $1.40 level against the U.S. dollar, and it looks to me like it could very easily go lower. In a bad stable, the European stable, the UK economy looks okay, but of course these are Brexit fears that are affecting sterling here, or Brexit uncertainty. That's going to weigh on the pound, I think, for a while longer. George Osborne, the Chancellor, will not mind that at all. And as I said yesterday, I'm sure that Mario Draghi will want to make sure that the euro does not appreciate much above that 114 level. He wants to see it back down, I think, around the 110 level, and I think he's going to get it. He'll help to get it there as well. Okay, industrial metals, mostly weaker. And that's not a good sign in terms of global GDP growth, because they are cutting back supply. Not enough, but that process at any rate is underway. And following the good short covering rally, many of these are weakening. I think tin was the only one that was higher in here today. And U.S. copper, as I speak, down 6.5 cents. It's come right back down below 208 cents. And bright spots, well, mildly so, in the precious metals. Not palladium, it's down $1.10 at 536, nearly a 537. Currently, silver is up 17.5 at $15.23, but it was up at $15.36.5. So that's sort of disappointing, given the nervousness here overall, but nevertheless, it's steadier than most stock markets. And also platinum, currently at $959. That's up over $14 here today. And gold, a steady performance here by gold bullion, up over $18 to $1,240 and change. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.